So good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you today. As we approach the Thanksgiving season, holiday, I guess, I like it to be a season. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. And you know how you all like sit around the table as a family, at least I hope you do, sit around the table as a family, and maybe you go around and you give thanks. You know, you kind of say, okay, before we eat. And this was always classic with kids, right? That we tried to do this at home, and with four crazy hungry kids when they were little, it's like we're cruel as parents. You know, you set out the whole meal, right? And there's just this just steaming turkey and all the fixins, and everything looks so good, and you go, okay, just a minute, we just want to go around and give thanks. So let's go around the table. Let's go around the table and just tell everybody what you're thankful for. And we're just cruel as parents, because our boys and my daughters, they're just like, really, we got to do this? I'm hungry. Come on. You know, and we do it every year. We do it every year. And it's like, sorry, you got to give thanks. So right before the sermon, I want to go around the table today. And I want to ask you what you're thankful for. So maybe there's somebody just wants to pop up real quick and just maybe give praise to God. Maybe there's something just burning in your heart right now, that something that you're just like, man, I've got to give thanks to the Lord today in public. Just wanting to give God praise. Is there anyone? Maybe a couple, three or four people. Let's go around the table. Who's first? Go ahead, Dave, and then we'll. Amen. All right. That's good.
I am thankful to be here. Yesterday I was in bed. And so I praise the Lord. It's just awesome to be able to move and be healthy.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good.
I'm thankful for Roy and Dawn opening up their home for small group, for Kurt leading us. We've just had the most wonderful time of growing together as a church family, getting to know some.
Excellent. Great. Yeah, back there. Martha.
I just want to thank the Lord for this church. The last 6 years, the 6 years I've lived longer than the doctor said I was going for. But I thank this church for the prayers and for the fellowship and how much love I have felt. You'll never know how much these people mean to me.
Amen. Amen. All right. That's good.
I am just thankful for the Lord's presence in my life forever, for always. And I'm thankful for this church, too, because when I had my loss, you all surrounded me so much. And I'm also thankful for all my almost new husband here.
That's good. Why, the Holy Spirit must be moving on this side of the sanctuary. What's going on?
Guess what I'm thankful for.
All right.
I've got two grandchildren. You probably all know it because you see it here and here, but I miss them today. What a blessing they are to me, and I'm sure to you.
Amen. That's good. Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Well, I'm thankful for Mr. and Mrs. Rupert accepting me as a foreign exchange student at this hard time, and also thankful for everyone in the church supporting me to get into Christianity.
Hey, that's good stuff. Woo! That's good. Yes. Anybody else?
I'm thankful for Johnny Nicole's little girls. I can play the violin.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
I'm thankful for children that humble us and put us outside our comfort zone.
Good. Absolutely. Good. Yeah, we can give her. Yeah, all right. Well, now we can eat. Oh. No, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything, give thanks. And of course, this is your cliche, your typical Thanksgiving sermon today. Of course, I love to talk about Thanksgiving, being grateful. But Scripture proves the fact that God expects us to be thankful. God expects us to have a grateful heart, a heart of gratitude. God expects us all throughout Scripture to count our blessings and to really understand where our blessings come from. And so I want to share a story. It's a really great story in Luke chapter 17. So I have it up on the screen. I believe we do have it on the screen. Yes. Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to start in verse 11, but we have the snapshot of 15 through 17. But Jesus was now on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." God not only deserves our thanks, but I believe he also desires it. You see, God wants us to be grateful. God wants us to be grateful for his goodness. Rather than just taking God for granted and all the blessings that he's given all of us, he wants us to be grateful. How many of you took time this week, giving thanks for just the everyday things of life? I mean, have we made that our, like, a process, if you will? Have you made that a habit in your life of giving thanks of everything in your life? You know, it does. It takes that effort. It takes time. It takes that process for me to make sure that I'm giving thanks on a regular basis. I mean, for example, this is maybe sound weird, but every time I go out in the deer woods, every time I'm going hunting, I always, always, always give thanks. It's just like one of those things. I just thank you, God, that I'm able to do this. Thank you for the beautiful trees. Thank you for this, the weather. Thank you for all of this. And maybe I don't shoot a deer, but that's like, hey, God, thank you anyway, right? And so I'm making sure that we're always giving thanks in all circumstances. Maybe you have something that you do on a regular basis that reminds you to give thanks. I mean, a lot of times it's before you eat, right? That's a good habit, of course. And a lot of times it's something else before you get into the car. Thank you, Lord, for this car that you've bestowed upon me, that you've given me, I give you praise. You know, it's just something, the little things that remind you to give thanks. And so as we prepare to have Thanksgiving this next week, we want to understand that God doesn't want our Thanksgiving to be limited to just Thursday, right? Not just be limited to going around the table with your family or whoever you're eating Thanksgiving dinner with. It's not just limited to one day, but he wants us to live a lifestyle of thankfulness. And so as we think of what Paul said in our first text this morning, "In everything give thanks, because this is the will of God." This is the will of God for us, concerning us. And so in everything, give thanks. We're going to unpack that one a little bit because it's tough to give thanks in every situation. It's tough to give thanks in every situation. In Ephesians chapter 5, I don't have this on the screen, but through 19 through 20, he says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, Paul is encouraging the Ephesians to give thanks, to sing songs, to bring spiritual songs and making a melody in our hearts, always giving thanks. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then he repeats himself, "Always." Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. And so Paul made it clear that our giving of thanks is to be continually and not just dependent on our situations. In spite of our circumstances, be thankful. And that's not always easy, is it? Because if you've lived on this earth long enough, you've realized that life stinks sometimes, right? I mean, life stinks sometimes. It really does. It's just hard. Things happen. It's rough. And it's not always easy to give thanks. But I want to share with you three reasons today, kind of a quick snapshot, three reasons why our Thanksgiving must be continual no matter what our circumstances may be. It needs to be continual no matter what. So number one, it's because the world is watching and listening is the reason why we as Christians need to give thanks continually. Because the world is watching and listening. The world seems to ignore the good news we try to share with them, but they become all ears when negative circumstances come your way as a Christian, don't they? I mean, if you think about it, in your workplace, if they know you're a Christian, hopefully they know you're a Christian, and something happens bad, what are they going to do? They're all eyes, they're all ears. They're thinking, what is their response going to be? I remember I had this when I was working for Henry Ford Hospital. I remember this was so clearly. I was the chaplain there, and they knew I was a Christian. They knew I was a pastor, all of my coworkers, but I don't think I worked with a one. Maybe one was a Christian, but the rest of my coworkers weren't. And I remember something happened in our office. I remember something happened, and it was just like completely negative. It was unfair. I forget what the circumstance was right now, but I remember this very vividly. I don't remember the circumstance, but I remember how they came to me, and they asked my opinion of what was going on. They came to me, and they asked me, what do you think? Because they are all eyes. They are all ears. And because what I say matters, that's not why they came to me, because it really doesn't matter what I say. In their opinion, they could care less, but they wanted to see what a Christian's viewpoint was of the scenario. And so it was interesting. I had to check myself, just like we all have to every single day. We always have to check ourselves. When something negative comes into our lives, we've got to check ourselves of how we're going to give thanks and be, even in a negative circumstance. We're always going to do the right thing. Always show that Christian attitude in certain circumstances. In Acts chapter 16, again, let me just read this, a great, great story. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 through 25. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Verse 25, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, just a quick snapshot of Paul and Silas being thrown into prison for their faith, being thrown into prison for doing what is right. And what was their attitude? They were singing. They were celebrating. They were praising God. And it specifically said the other prisoners around them were hearing and understanding what they were going through. When our circumstances turn from good to bad, I think being flogged, has anybody ever been flogged before? I think that's a pretty bad situation. I mean, maybe some of you have been in jail before. You know, that's cool. You know, you got some street cred. That's all right. You've been in jail before, okay. But have you ever been flogged? Have you ever been beaten? Have you ever been like this close to death, thrown into jail, and then shackled? You see, Paul and Silas were like, okay, what should we do? Should we have a bad attitude? I'm sure they were pretty tempted to. I'm sure they were pretty tempted to have a bad attitude. Oh, this stinks. My back hurts from just getting my butt kicked. I mean, I'm telling you, what you could imagine what their attitude would have been. But guess what they were doing? It says at midnight. Don't you think they were tired? At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing thanksgiving to God. Wow. Let that one sink in for a minute. Let that one sink in. And see, when our circumstances turn from like good to bad, or not even good, but when the flow of God's blessings seems to be temporarily turned off in our lives, what we tend to forget is those times of thanksgiving, don't we? You know, there's times where we feel flogged, or we feel like the world has beat us up. There's times in our lives where we feel like everything is not going right, and those are the times that are the hardest to give thanks to God. You know, I mean, it's tough. It's tough. I can't imagine what some of you even have gone through. And yet, in those moments, can you think to give God thanks? I can imagine it'd be hard. And so the world is listening. People are looking to see how you're going to react during those hard times. And in fact, if you read on in this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 16, it's pretty cool what happened. So I encourage you to read through it. I'm not going to tell you. Well, okay, I'll tell you. So a bunch of people got saved. A bunch of people got saved. It rocked, literally shook and rocked their world. Read that passage of Scripture when you go home today. Study it. It's awesome. See, if we're only grateful and joyful when the things are going good, then how are we any different from the rest of the world? If we as Christians are only joyful and happy and thankful when things are going well, how are we any different than anybody else? See, the world is watching you, Christian. The world is watching you to see how you're going to respond to adversity. And if I could just kind of parenthetically speak this morning about what's going on in our world today, you're watching the garbage that goes on in the evening news and all the stuff that's happening in politics and with our government, and the world is watching us as Christians. How are we going to respond? How are we going to respond? Do we simply go, oh, I know, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. This is just awful. I can't believe how this is. I mean, do we join the negativity? Or do we say, you know what? I'm going to give God thanks anyways. I'm going to give God praise because what he's doing in my life. I don't need to worry about what's happening around the world. I could care less what's happening in here because I'm going to give God thanks anyways. I'm going to sing and be joyful no matter what my circumstance. And I'm telling you, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. But we need to do it regardless. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So Jesus said, we, Christians, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And that is our job, is to be the light and not the darkness, and not join in the darkness what's going on around you. So if you want to be used of God to bring your unsaved friends and family, your coworkers to Christ, then you've got to learn to continually praise him even when things aren't going well, because you've got their attention. Now let's just be Jesus. Let's just be Jesus. So we've got to offer continual thanks. Number two is because Satan is watching and listening. Yes, Satan is watching and listening, and he's there ready to see how you're going to react. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same types of sufferings." And so, as we think of Satan being the roaring lion, think about this question. What kind of animals do lions most devour, right? It's the weak, it's the injured, it's the sick. That's the ones that lions devour. And so Satan it's the same thing with Satan. If you're the one who is in a down-and-out scenario, if you're the one in a desperate, horrible situation, and you're revealing yourself as a sick and injured Christian, Satan's going to jump all over you. He's going to jump all over you and attack you in so many different ways. Satan's watching. Satan's listening. He's watching you to see how you're going to respond. But if you're living victoriously in thanksgiving, giving God thanks and praise in all circumstances, Satan's going to go, "Oh, I better go on to somebody else today. I'm going to leave that one alone because they just got too much joy in thanksgiving to God. I'm moving on." And you think of the story of Job, right? You look at Job. He's had his whole life destroyed, and yet he did not denounce God. He continually gave thanks. And so as we think of Satan watching, as we think of Satan standing by at the ready just to attack you, making sure that we need to continually offer thanks to God, regardless of our situation, Not just because the world and everybody else is listening, but Satan's listening too. He's watching you. How will you respond? How will you respond? And so we've got to offer continual thanks. In continually offering thanks to God. Number three, because God is watching and listening. God is watching and listening. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." God's watching you. He's looking throughout the entire earth. "For the eyes are of the Lord are ranged through the entire earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." So God is looking for people that he can demonstrate his power and strength through. So if you're that person who is the Debbie Downer, the negative Nancy, always just saying, "Oh, there's nothing good going on in my life. I just can't believe it. Everything goes wrong all the time." If you're that person, it's time to continually give thanks no matter what, because God's watching. He's looking for someone to strengthen and someone to use. So if you want to be used by God, if you want to be that person to be used by God, let's continually give thanks. He's looking for people whose hearts are fully committed to him and who trust in him through the good, the bad, and the ugly. God is looking for people in whom he can show himself strong. But those people have got to be people whose hearts are fully committed. I want to revert back to Acts chapter 19. 19 verses 25 through 26, "And at midnight," I said before, "Paul and Silas, they prayed, they were singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. But guess what happened? Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were all opened, and everyone's bands were loosened." So now we're talking about supernatural stuff going on. Paul and Silas singing praises at midnight, giving thanksgiving for being flogged and in prison. And what takes place as an avenue for God's work to do something amazing? There was an earthquake, and everyone's doors were slammed open and the shackles were off. I mean, God moved. God moved in a mighty way. You see, God's watching. In Paul's situation, thanksgiving and praise brought them freedom. Their chains become like nothing. And the story goes on. I don't want to spoil it for you, but I guess I'm preaching it, so we might as well talk about it. But if we think about it, if you read through this passage of scripture, the Holy Spirit just came and rocked their world. And the guard, we don't have time to talk about it. The guard, he drew his sword as to commit suicide and to fall on his own sword. Because guess what? All the prison doors were wide open, and all these prisoners were being set free. He's like, "Oh man, I'm dead. I might as well do it quick." So he goes to pull his sword, to fall upon his own sword, because he knows he's getting fired, to say the least. And Paul's like, "No, no, 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 don't do this. We're all here, man. Don't worry. Don't worry about this. We're still here. We're not here to get you in trouble or even to have a loss of life. We're here." And the story goes on, and this prison guard who drew his sword, was ready to commit suicide, he meets Jesus. He understands salvation. He repents of his sins, and he takes them home, and his family gets saved as well. It's amazing. Yeah. Because of the thankfulness and the representation of Jesus in Paul and Silas amidst a horrible, horrible circumstance. See, God is watching. God is listening. God knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. Thanks be to God. And so don't you ever think that God is not looking and listening, and it is our job to give praise and thanksgiving to him no matter what. No matter what. And so we understand that the circumstances don't end until God has finished the work that has begun. If we learn to give thanks and praise in the midst of everything that we do, we learn that God will grant us his inner peace and his assurance. Now, is through thanksgiving, is that going to change your circumstance like Paul and Silas? I don't know. But there's an inner peace there. There's something that goes on. There's something that takes place in a person's life that is far beyond the circumstance. I'm going to invite the band to come on up as we kind of close out our time together in thanksgiving. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4 again, but I'm going to expound a little bit this morning on this passage. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. I mean, that should be enough, right? I remember memorizing that passage of Scripture when I was younger. It's a simple one. It repeats itself. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. There you go. There's your memory verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. But it goes on, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Woo. Let me read that again. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And therefore, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so we need to be continually giving thanks to God. No matter what happens, no matter what comes in our way, no matter what the future holds, no matter how nervous or anxious we are for what's going to happen a month from now or 6 months from now or 2 years from now, with everything we give thanks. And we confidently come before God in prayer and petition, giving him thanks for everything no matter what. Pretty simple, right? Not always easy. Not always easy. And so in everything we give thanks. So let's stand together and let's give thanks to God. Maybe one of you have in here today has just everything going well. I mean, like, you are just, I mean, everything's just flying high. Everything's fantastic. And then maybe there's somebody here today that you could just not feel any worse on the planet. Maybe there's somebody even listening today online that you're just, things are just going downhill and you're just down in the dumps. I mean, there's going to be from my left to my right and everything in between of successes in life and happiness, joy, sadness, disappointment, discouragement, fear, anxiety, joy. You get the point. I'm saying today, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on in your life, rejoice. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be grateful. Because God has given us his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us of our sins. He has given us, Jesus Christ, the way of salvation to take my place, to take my place in an eternity for hell, in hell. And so we give God thanks for his son, Jesus, if anything, today, and for forgiveness of sin and the cleansing and the righteousness that he imparts on us. So let's give God praise. Let's give God thanks this morning. Lord, we want to be found guilty of gratefulness. Lord, I want to be found guilty of gratefulness. No matter what comes my way, no matter the circumstances I'm finding myself in, no matter if I'm sick, no matter if I've had a horrible week, I give you thanks and give you praise. I know the world is watching. I know Satan's watching. I know for sure, God, you're watching. And I want to be found faithful in my thanksgiving to you.